Mac, hold the mustard. Let's catch up. Big news for this week. Wednesday, Idle Hands Craft Ales, December 7th, we'll be doing Nicolas Cage movie trivia.
89 Commercial Street Mall in Massachusetts. If you've seen a movie with Nick Cage in it, you qualify to
any
come
of the 50.
Take our trivia.
Yep. Any of the 50.
I mean, literally, if you've seen 1 minute of National Treasure, you qualify.
If you wear a tank top and slick back your hair, you're getting points. Also, Mac, jumping off of that, I was counting or something like that earlier. I forget what I was counting, but now I have Mumbo number 5 stuck in my head.
Oh, that's, I feel bad for you.
And now it's stuck in all of your heads.
I don't love that song. I know it's like a thing that people love.
Lou Bega doesn't love that song.
Give me the Macarena over that song.
Ooh, you know, you're going Macarena over Mambo number 5?
As far as fad songs go, give me Macarena over Mambo.
Did we
five.
Just stumble into our March Madness?
Fad songs?
Fad songs.
Who let the dogs out? That would
That's
be
three.
On there.
Okay, so we need 61 more.
One goo, three, yeah!
Mac and goo!
Jaws 3!
Mac and goo!
King of Queens!
Mac and goo!
Meryl Streep!
Mac goo!
Entertainment!
Yeah! I'm Goo!
And I'm Mac!
And we are the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship!
Yep, today, and we're gonna be bringing you mostly what Goo has watching. Watched.
That's
because
Mac
lately.
Doesn't have the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have the Christmas spirit, and Goo does. Goo, also, I'll scream during Mumble number 5. Don't get me wrong, but there's no accompanying dance, and the Macarena dance greater than anything.
I think
Mumble
it's just like this.
Brings.
Yeah, it's just that.
You know, I like the Mumble number 5. I'm going to draw it all back because now I'm singing it in my head. And I do like it.
How many names can you rattle off right now?
Little bit of Monica. In
no, without
life.
Singing it. No singing. It's like when you get pulled over by the police. What if they pull you over and say, can you please rattle off some names from Mambo number 5?
It's not the alphabet backwards. It is now the women's names from Lou Bega's Mambo number 5.
I'm just like, Sandra, Rita, Monica. I know they're getting sweeter.
Hands behind your back, sir.
I know. Like we said, no singing and no tags from the song either. And they just go, ah!
That's pretty good. I like that. You know, that's not a bad sketch.
What have you been watching lately? Keep it short. Tell me right now.
If the writers from SNL are watching right now, and we know they are,
yeah,
that's a sketch. You can have
it. If that pops up, we better get fucking credit. I'll
There's no way that pops up anywhere. If that pops up anywhere, I mean anywhere. The proof is in this pudding.
Right here.
Yes.
All fucking three of you that listen to this podcast. Goo!
Yes.
This week we are talking a lot of Christmas type shows, movies. I don't know, everything in between. I've seen 1.5. You've seen 3, 4, 5?
I've seen a bunch, but your half is something that I've stared at constantly. I'm like, do I want to watch this? Too long.
Yeah, I will get to that part. Okay. But most importantly, the most hottest, hot off the presses, and I think the most relevant is what I was going for there. Most relevant because of the Guardians 3 trailer that released last week is the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
I would say one of the two most relevant because the second movie up also did pretty well at the box office and might start a little franchise.
Yeah, but it also never should have been in the box office because it's a classic streaming movie.
I don't know about that.
I'm not paying money.
Sure about that's why? I went to the movies last night, and has this ever happened to you? Have you ever tried to pick up a piece of popcorn off your seat, and then you pull your hand up, and it's covered in sauce?
No. Why would I pick the popcorn up off my seat?
To put it on the floor. Yeah, brush it on the floor.
Oh.
So I picked my hand up, and it was covered in red sauce.
Oh. Well,
and I said, what is this?
First of all, no. Don't you talk to me about theater etiquette. I have seen you eat burrito bowls and burritos in the theater.
But have I ever just, left sauce in a chair?
You probably have.
So then, you know what I did? I moved to the seat next to me. Same thing happened. Reach down. More sauce.
It was probably a couple that ate burritos the show before you. And there you go. That's karma right there. Stop eating burritos in the theater.
What would you do?
I would stick my hand up and say, hey, theater representative.
Napkins, please.
Was it? Of course it was. What theater did you go to?
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to trash the theater.
Okay,
all right.
I'm assuming it was assigned seats, though, yes?
Yes.
So they either don't clean the seats after showings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's literally just it then. There's no other option.
You know what Mac would have done? He would have went and got some dry pasta.
Goo. Yeah. The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special is on Disney Plus right now.
Yes.
Currently streaming. You can turn us off and go watch it if you'd like, because this will be very spoiler full.
If you haven't seen it yet, you don't care.
It's 41 minutes.
It's 41 minutes, and that is exactly how long it should be, if maybe 5 minutes shorter.
Sure. Yep. And this is a rated TV-14, quote-unquote, TV special. Mm-hmm. Not unlike that werewolf thing they did,
but
whatever the hell
that's
called.
You say that. I look at Werewolf by Night as being a movie, and I don't think the same about this. So do I need now to take the Werewolf by Night off my movie list?
I think you're thinking that because Werewolf by Night was new, and this is characters we
already
know.
No, but it also felt more theatrical. This felt like a TV special, and James Gunn leaned into that.
Yeah, this is more of like a side quest with characters we already know. That other one was almost like the first act of a new story. I don't know, but either way, roughly the same. I think that Werewolf was what, like 47 minutes, something like that?
Roughly the same. 51, who knows?
Goo, this is an action, adventure, and comedy. On Rotten Tomatoes, 92% from the critics, 82% from the audience. The 82 is a little low, if I'm being honest.
Too silly for people?
As far as
Guardians
stuff goes. For me, it was just something like I didn't really need it.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's what I want the specials to be. Stuff that you don't need, but they're like, here, take it anyways.
Sure, but this probably ends up at like 78, 79% because I think it almost doesn't have enough to justify doing. You know, it's
GoBots
just
killed Drax's family.
We'll get to that. It's the whole thing, the whole to do with that. Go on, Metacritic, though.
Yeah.
82. That's an 82. Only from 8 reviewers, so that's probably
going to go. So it's the best movie of
too.
All time. 82 is super high.
It is very high.
Yeah.
This is written and directed, of course, by James Gunn. Goo, for upcoming projects, because we all know what James Gunn has done in the past. Of course, he has Guardians 3. He's taking over the DC Universe. He also has written something coming out in 2023 called Coyote vs. Acme.
Is that a Coyote Ugly versus the Looney Tunes?
That's what it is, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Piper Parabo's coming back. It's a whole thing. They're building a shared
universe
there.
I love rock and roll. Is that song in that movie?
I don't think it is.
It's gotta be.
I don't think it is.
It's definitely in there.
Synopsis of the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, Goo. Star-Lord, Drax, Rocket, Mantis, and Groot engage in some spirited shenanigans in an all-new original special created for Disney+.
That's overselling it.
That oversells
it.
And also
it's just Drax
it's
and Mantis.
Accurate.
Yeah, it's Drax and Mantis.
Not accurate. Whatever. Yeah. Alternate, the one that I came up with after I read that. Drax and Mantis travel to Earth to give Peter a very special present for Christmas because Mantis is keeping a special secret from the rest of the crew.
You should put the word special in there more.
I put special in there twice because this is the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's there's like the reason this got made, I think, of course, James Gunn likes having fun.
Yeah.
But there's like one little tidbit of information in here that could have been done in a 3 minute scene and they'd make it 41 minutes.
Mac, I don't care who's in the cast. Can you just jump to what we learned?
Sure. You don't want to talk about Maria Bakalova?
No, it's all okay, fine. So that's something new. Tell us the new people and everyone else is the exact same.
Same cast, same voice cast. Kevin Bacon is introduced here as a character in MCU canon. The old 97s, who was a band that James Gunn probably
maybe
likes.
Maybe the highlight of the movie for me.
Cool song. Cool song at the beginning.
Also this
for
thing.
Sure. They play an alien band on Nowhere. And then, of course, Maria Bakalova, who voiced Borat's daughter in Borat 2, voices Cosmo the dog.
That's
in
a nice.
And Cosmo the dog, Goo, is now basically part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, more or less.
Yeah.
At least part of the Ravager crew that the Guardians hang out with. Goo, what we learned from this special that is MCU relevant, that is relevant to the Guardians 3 story. Number one, the Guardians have acquired Nowhere from the Collector. They bought it from the Collector, and now it's their home base, essentially. It's their home planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that's going to mean going forward. We did learn previously that Nowhere was a Celestial that was beheaded. the head of nowhere is the planet now. Mantis Goo, the secret, the very special secret she's keeping from everyone. She's Peter Quill's sister.
Half-sister. Which,
yeah, half-sister. They share a father. Ego is both of their fathers. I don't know if that it's actually going to mean anything going forward other than bringing those two characters closer.
Maybe,
together.
And you mentioned this last week in News Dump, if you kill one of them off, they feel a bit tighter to them?
Yeah, I don't know. It almost seems unnecessary. And it's also something we maybe had thought about before, because why was Ego even involved with Mantis in the first
also,
place?
Also, she's got a Magnum dong. Mantis toboggan.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Of course, Cosmo is part of the crew now. Cosmo talks via a voice box, voice caller. And Cosmo has like telekinetic powers, telekinesis and whatnot.
And she doesn't bark. She just goes, oh, wow, wow, wee, wow.
Wow, wow, wee, wee.
King of the castle.
Give the most important part here, maybe, arguably.
No, this is it.
The most confusing part.
No, this is it. This is it.
GoBots are referenced in here when Mantis and Drax are on Earth looking for Kevin Bacon. They go to a Comic-Con for some reason.
No, it's an outdoor area. It's just where characters are.
Oh,
it's like when you go to New York
and
you pay them
there.
$5 and they take a picture with you. Yeah,
that's right. One person is dressed as a GoBot or Transformer or something like that. Drax freaks out. Mantis said GoBots killed his cousin, which establishes GoBots in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that's important because GoBots Goo, obviously a very 80s thing, I think came out in 83, a year before Transformers, mind you. Eventually, they were bought by Hasbro.
Mac is a GoBots truther.
Became the intellectual property of Hasbro in 91. Subsequently, because Hasbro already owned Transformers, they established the GoBots universe as an alternate universe within the Transformers multiverse. Ipso facto, Goo, the Transformers universe, the Transformers movies, are now part of the MCU. It's MCU canon.
And James Gunn actually tweeted that out and said canon.
Canon.
Yeah. Which I'm sure Feige's like, don't do that. It's the same as when they introduced Adam Warlock at the end of Guardians. So he's like, what are you doing?
Mark Wahlberg in the MCU. Haley Steinfeld plays two characters in the MCU now. Shia LaBeouf in the MCU.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. He's there.
Megan Fox in the MCU.
Shia LaBeouf needs to be in more things, by the way.
Shia LaBeouf is a...
Not
maybe
to get off
on
a tangent right now, but I saw Don't Worry, Darling, and the entire time, first off, the movie's fine. It doesn't suck. It's not good. But all I could think of the entire time of, this would have been really good if Shia LaBeouf was in it.
So is Harry Styles that bad?
He's just meh.
Okay. Was Florence good?
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, she's good with what she has.
Flopu?
Yeah.
Flopu. I like her. I like the way she looks.
Specifically because you're going to call her Flopu? A big fan of Flopu.
But, dude, this fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just a Scrooge right now. I was expecting a little more from this. Honestly.
Finish that name. Scrooge McDuck.
I thought it was going to be funnier. I thought it was going to, I don't know, have a little more gravitas.
Mm-hmm.
But really, no. This is just here to give you a quick update as to where the Guardians are and to tell you that Mantis is Peter Quill's sister.
Can we talk about Kraglin's head fin?
Sure, let's talk about it.
That thing is disgusting. You can see all of like the weird ridges in his skull.
I think because his skin's not blue. I think stuff gets hidden a little more with the darker color if his skin was
blue. Well, I also think it's a TV special and James Gunn is like, let's make it look cheaper. And I love making things look cheaper. He's an old schlock guy, you know? Make his horror movies, and he wanted to make it look like that.
I think it also conveys the fact that he's not really supposed to have this fin, right? It's like kind of forced in there. It was for Yondu, who has a bigger head than
Michael Rooker has a giant dome.
Yeah, a head that would fit that fin. Would fit it better anyway.
So are you saying that he's not... That was worth it. That was worth every second of it.
Totally worth it.
So... I also want to remind people, for those of you, because I like Mantis in this little special here, but go back and watch all 2.5 hours of Infinity War and just watch Mantis in the background. She is hilarious in every single scene.
She has really funny, just without saying anything, just whether it's a face or some hand action.
Like Winona Ryder faces, kind of. Also, I really dig, and this is with all of Gunn's stuff, but I really dig the playlist. He didn't go with just like the obvious stuff. He gave us the SNL Christmas song where Chris Kattan is holding the keyboard. He gave us Christmas rapping. Is This Christmas? That's the new one, I believe, correct? He gave us I Want an Alien for Christmas. I Don't Know What Christmas Is. That's the new one, actually. And then finally, Here It Is Christmas Time, which is Kevin Bacon, which is kind of a weird song, I thought, yeah. But whatever, yeah. It fits.
Yeah, if there's one thing that James Gunn does better than anybody else on this planet, it is matching music to the themes and the goings on screen.
But also not using super obvious ones.
Right, right. Some deep cuts in some places, but yeah. Also, you know, I mean, he uses a lot of famous songs, but and of course a lot of directors try this and attempt this, but James Gunn finds a better synergy between the music and the video than anyone else, I think, on this planet. And we've seen it countless times in other movies. It works again here, obviously some original songs as well. I don't know, man. He just has, some people are really good at having ideas and not necessarily making it translate or getting it on screen. When James Gunn has an idea, it translates perfectly to the screen, whether you like the idea or not.
Speaking of music, I was listening to this song earlier, and I want it in Stranger Things 5. Let's put it into the universe right now, and if it happens, Goostradamus, Self Control by Laura Branigan.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Fair.
Let's see here. Kevin Bacon mentions Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, which is interesting because Eternals earlier this year, or last year, whenever that came out, they mentioned Superman.
Could have been 7 years ago. I don't know.
So not only are the GoBots canon in the MCU, but now we have Batman and Superman references. So those comic books at least exist in Marvel.
There is enough heart in this movie for me or this special. And also, let's go over the gifts that the Guardians give each other. Rocket got Bucky's arm from Nebula.
Yeah, which obviously he was, you know, Rocket always likes getting those sort of stuff, so asking for those sort of things. Do you think there's any real significance behind this? Do you think there's any story tie-in whatsoever with this?
No, I think it's just an arm that she found, because Bucky's gone through a couple.
Yeah, he's on his, like, third or fourth arm at this point. So maybe this was just lying around in Wakanda and they did them a favor.
Groot got a Game Boy and I assume only has one game. So that's a real shitty gift.
How old do you think, how mature age-wise do you think Groot is roughly?
He's a real chode right now. I'm going to say 23.
Oh, I was going to say like 17. But in that like kind of mature, still making mistakes era, but obviously he's buff now.
He's goosed.
Girthy.
He's a little girthy buff boy. Sure.
Yes, he is a little buff boy. Correct.
And then finally, everyone got a diorama from Groot, and Kraglin's was him looking at his diorama, looking at his diorama, looking at his diorama, looking at his diorama.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
So overall, this is fun. I liked it. It's not something that you got to rush to your TV to see.
I don't think you have to see it at all, honestly. And it's hard for me to give a dog grade because of what you said.
Okay,
too.
Well, hey, how about this? What do the people have to know coming out of this?
Again, from the top, sort of those three things we went over. Really, just the two, actually. You don't need to know the GoBots thing.
Well, what if the GoBots show up? You don't want to be surprised.
Yeah, then you have to come back and watch this for that one line. Mm-hmm. The Guardians are now based in nowhere. That's their home planet, home base. And Mantis is Peter Quill's half-sister. That's what you need to know. That's it. That's what this 41-minute runtime does.
Let's move on, Mac, to a movie that just came out this weekend, the one that I just caught last night and had sauce all over my hands. I hope it was sauce. And
Loused in the sauce.
Is Violent Night. It is in theaters, made $13.5 million at the box office, finished second. Pretty good weekend
Why
for them.
Why is this not currently streaming on like HBO Max as well?
Give it like 3 weeks. I don't know, man.
It's a fucking movie.
It's
about
making
Santa
money.
Claus
it's making
people.
Money.
Yeah, for a week. This should be. This is
no,
a streaming
word
movie
of mouth. It's
going to
make
$10 million
more. Watch.
No, I would pay $5 maybe to watch this on streaming. I'm not going to the theater and paying $20. That's
rated R, action, adventure, comedy, crime. Runtime of 101 minutes. Perfect. In and out. Don't waste my time.
Yeah. Also, IMDb said 112 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes said 101. So I went with the smaller number.
It might be more actually.
This is conflicting reports, but under 2 hours is key.
Roddy T's 71 from the critics and 90 from the audience. Metacritic of 55, written by Pat Casey and Josh Miller, directed by Tommy Ricola. Ricola?
Yeah, Ricola. Ricola. So this gentleman is a Norway fellow. What do they call them?
Norwegian.
Norwegian, right?
Like, which makes sense to how I was just saying, we call
So I know him from a movie called Dead Snow, Goo. Have you ever seen Dead Snow?
No, but I've heard of Hansen and Gretel.
It came out in like 2008, 2009. It might have been, I think it was a straight-to-streaming movie. Mm-hmm. Essentially, these skiers in the Alps get trapped and have to fight Nazi zombies. It's fucking one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, he directs Dead Snow 2. It was so good, people said, I need a sequel. And he also directed that Netflix movie, What Happened to Monday. So he's a little notable. He's been around the block a little bit. But the Dead Snow, that vibe, I'm assuming, is what this movie is also very much like.
No. It's John Wick, but with Santa.
Yeah, I mean, Dead Snow was skiers fighting Nazi zombies. It's the same vibe in this movie.
You haven't seen the movie. You don't know the vibe. Synopsis: rich family gets taken over by burglars, and Santa is there to save the day.
And the writers of this movie, Goo, wrote Sonic and Sonic 2. That's very bizarre as well. I find that interesting. David Harbour, of course, plays Santa Claus in this movie, and he's the real selling point. John Leguizamo, I had originally typed, just plays a bad guy, but then when I was on the cast list, his name is Scrooge.
Code name Scrooge. It's not his actual name. He calls himself Scrooge. All the bad guys have Christmas code names.
This fucking movie. Goo. Explain why should I see
so
this
first
movie?
Off, David Harbour. That is the reason why. David Harbour is the selling point. Leguizamo, I actually think, is kind of flat in this. I don't think he's great. I don't blame him for this. It might just be how they told him to play the character. And he said that inspiration for this character is Hans Gruber, which is duh. It's fucking Die Hard, but with Santa, dude.
David Harbour is no longer ever going to be a reason for me to see something because of Hellboy. So that you can't tell me that.
He was born to play Santa.
Yeah, I can't.
This specific
it's gotta
Santa.
It's got to be something else. Is there sex?
No, there's no sex, no bubes.
What?
I know. I'm sorry.
Why give it R then?
There's a ton of ultra violence. And I don't want to get into any of the specific kills, but I would say that there is a six pack of I made guffaw sounds in the theater. And then had hearty chuckles based off of how gruesome the death was.
Was this on nobody level?
Yeah, it's around nobody. Like, it's not quite Wick, but the deaths in it are Wickian.
Okay, all right. But no sex. I would have liked to have seen a Mrs. Claus rewarding Santa for making it home.
And I thought they actually might have done that in a post-credit. I did stick around for post-credits, and it just didn't happen.
No post-credits, huh?
Yeah. One thing that really holds this movie back is the family. The main family is so flat, one note, one dimensional, like you don't give a shit about them.
Well, I mean, Goo, when you're writing and directing a movie called Violent Night about a Santa Claus killing mercenaries, I don't think you give a fuck about how well.
No, but you do want to kind of not flesh them out, but make them care for maybe one or two of the characters, like have them root for somebody.
I don't know. It'd be kind of cool if they all just died.
And they, sorry to spoil, but yeah, Leguizamo's meh to me. And I don't know. I just feel like someone else could have done this better.
Other than Harbour as Santa,
yeah.
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
What was the best part of like what?
Kills. Kills.
Well, other
it was
than
the
that,
kills.
So a person or an actor or a character. Was there any other really good person?
The daughter. The one that he's kind of walkie-talkieing back and forth
the
with.
Main. Okay. The daughter. Of
and
the
not
main
to give
family.
Anything away, but at one point she says, I'm going to start pulling pranks like that movie Home Alone, and it leads to one of the best scenes of the movie.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been on a Home Alone sort of thing.
They, you know the nail that pops out of the stairs, obviously, that they step on? Yep. They do something with that fucking killed me.
Like funny-wise?
Yes. Funny and gruesome.
All right. Yeah. As gruesome as A Quiet Place?
It might be better.
Ooh.
Because like you're like, well, what are they gonna do? And then you're like, oh, I kind of see this coming. And then you're like, oh shit, oh wow, yucky, yucky.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah.
Oh, like an eyeball to the nail.
I don't want to say what happened.
Oh, that's what I thought of immediately.
But like I said, the second kill that happens, that's when. So it takes like a half an hour to get to the second kill because the first kill happens in the first hour. But the second kill.
What do they do in the first half hour?
They're trying to establish the family and like Santa's kind of like a bad Santa. He doesn't want to really do this that much anymore. He's peeing off his sleigh. He's drinking. He's eating cookies.
He's drinking and slaying.
Yeah, he's drinking and slaying.
Wow.
But it's the second kill that they get to where someone's head eventually catches on fire. And you say, this is what I'm here for.
Do the reindeer kill anyone?
Sadly not.
Oh, that's... How do you not utilize the reindeer? Come
but
on.
They do take giant shits. Does that sell
so
you?
So they did utilize them, I suppose.
I might have this top 10 on the year for me.
Yeah, but that's really not saying much. Give us a rough dog score.
Like 33.
You're telling people it's worth paying money to see.
It's worth
the theater.
Going to the theaters. This is a Santa Claus with like a raider pillager background who loves to wield, I don't know what the word is, a hammer. A giant fucking hammer.
Wield. Yeah. Wield would be like if he made something. And yeah.
Where at one point he's like, if I just found a hammer, it'd be like a beautiful dance.
Like a,
and
like a,
it was.
Like a carpenter's hammer or like a Thor's hammer?
Like a big fucking hammer.
Like a sledgehammer.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, does Santy have any magical powers?
Yeah, he has a big bag.
Okay.
And, oh my God, okay, I don't want to give it away. He has a magical power, and this power leads to, and like the final fight scene's like, okay, let's wrap this up. And then he does something that is like Santa Claus meets Mortal Kombat with a finishing move that I was like, oh,
if this is not, if this is not on streaming by Christmas Eve, they have made a grave mistake.
I will say this, though. I'm not sure if it's like a rated R classic the way that Bad Santa is, but
that's definitely not.
There are some highlight reel stuff in this thing.
Because Bad Santa has like a rewatchability to it, too. And I don't think this is going to have that.
The kills might. And like I said, if the family was a little bit better, it might have gotten there.
You don't give a shit who's in your way, do you?
What'd you say?
You don't give a shit who's in your way, do you?
Not really.
Mac, a movie that I saw twice. I've seen this twice. Yes, I have.
Christ almighty.
And I love it. I can't get enough of it. We are in the Lindsay Lohanissance.
Are we?
Falling for Christmas on Netflix. Go and watch it right now. This is the hardest movie on the year to rank. I wasn't sure to put it at last or at number one. So I met in the middle at 15.
Okay,
and
sure.
Holy smokes, it has everything. You have a father who seems to, like they cut out a scene in the middle of the movie. He starts out one way, he ends up another way, and you're like, how did we get here? There's no explanation to it, but you don't really need one. You have an influencer who seems to be the big joke of the movie. This is where the comedy is coming from. And the writers are like, this is the funniest guy in the movie. And he stinks. He's a guy who's obsessed with selfies. What year is this?
So is Lohan the mother or what character?
She is the love interest. And let me explain this to you.
The love interest of the influencer?
Let me explain this to you. She is engaged, or she gets engaged to this influencer. I believe his name is Tad. Don't quote me. But
Dad Hamilton?
He brings her up to the top of a mountain. By the way, this is completely all set at ski resorts. There's a couple ski resorts. One of them's a really expensive one. One is owned by some jabroni, and it's a middling one, which is actually a really nice ski resort. But he's like, we're going under. I don't know what's happening. I'll explain what's happening there in a second. But Tad brings Lindsay Lohan. I don't know her name in this movie. I think she has three names. It might be Sarah and Sierra.
Does she wear any sexy outfits?
There's one red dress that the guy who owns the ski lodge, I think his name is John or Jack or Fred or something, that his mother-in-law gives to her because his wife is dead and his daughter wants a new mom or something. So
sure.
They're at the top of this mountain, and Tad gets engaged to Lindsay Lohan, but the ring is too big. So when the mountain splits, there's an avalanche or something. He holds her by the ring, as one does, and they fall apart. She goes down the mountain. This might be the best down mountain scene since Mac and Me. The way that this is cut, it's literally they go back and forth between Lindsay Lohan in front of a green screen with the same look and then falling down. Same look, falling down, and the editing continuity makes no sense. She is
I'm looking at some stills right now of Lohan in the red dress. Shows off the yabos a little bit. The filter on the camera is not good.
Well, the camera work in this movie in general, bad.
Yeah, that seems real bad.
So she goes to the hospital because she has amnesia. And the nurse is like, I can't let you out. And then the guy who runs the other ski lodge, by the way, this guy asked Lohan's dad. Lohan's dad is rich. She's very, very rich. He asked him to possibly fund his ski lodge, add it to his portfolio. Let's get this ski lodge. Let's get this middling ski lodge going. And then he brings her to the hospital. He finds her. And the hospital's like, we can't let her go. And the guy's like, well, I could take her in. And the hospital's like, yeah, sure.
Do you think Lindsay Lohan is responsible for a whole generation of having like a redhead fetish?
Redheads, am I right?
She might be the first redhead I ever found attractive.
So this guy who doesn't even know this woman takes in this amnesia victim, and then it is his task now to teach her.
How fucking long is this movie?
I don't know, like 20 minutes. Teach her the Christmas spirit. It feels like 20 minutes. And the whole time she's bonding with his daughter. She's bonding with his mother-in-law. This daughter wants a new mom. And then maybe my favorite line of the movie is the guy is, he's like, I don't know. The lodge is going to shut down. I don't know what to do. We don't have any money. And she's like, well, what if you have all of your old patrons come back and we have this big fundraiser? And she has this book of memories. And he's like, what do you know about memories? You can't even remember your name.
Oh,
which is funny because she has amnesia.
Right.
But then they make up and they have this amazing fundraiser. Everyone goes back there. And by the way, this ski lodge is perfectly cromulent. It's a very nice ski lodge. I don't know why it's going under, but then you find out the reason why it is going under. The first person up there goes, we came here for our honeymoon, and Jack, I think the guy's name is, and Jack wouldn't even take a dime from us. He just let us have a room. And then someone else goes up there and says the exact same thing. This guy just sucks at business. He's not taking money for the fucking rooms.
I don't know. So that's a major plot point is the guy that owns it doesn't take
is
money
an idiot.
For the rooms?
The guy's a dummy. We've been waiting this whole time. Like, why is this place going under? He's not taking money. Oh, they're on their honeymoon. Let him enjoy the room.
So, but that guy is different than Lindsay Lohan's love interest, or that's the same guy?
And this whole time, Lindsay Lohan's love interest is hanging out with like a mountaineer who finds him, and they have to travel 6 days through the snow to get back to the lodge.
What?
Shut up.
This movie is bad.
And then we find out at the end, Tad, her love interest, the fiance, bisexual, gay? I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's like a throwaway thing of like, oh, Lindsay Lohan doesn't want to spend the holiday with me. How about this fella?
Maybe he got a little sucky-sucky on that six-day trek in the mountains.
We don't know. They didn't show that. They should have just shown that.
I mean, that would have made more sense. Like, that's what you would infer after the fact, you know?
I don't know. I think it was just like a throwaway joke of like, this would be kind of funny, right?
And no, it wasn't. It was not.
It wasn't. But yes, go and check out this movie. Thumbs up. 40 hot dogs.
Out. We'll never watch it.
And Lohan, of course, ends up with the other guy. And the whole time her dad's like, you had to find a purpose in life. But
who's
then
the
at
other
the
guy?
End, he's like, well, the Snow Lodge guy.
Oh, Jack, the guy that's in charge of anyone, anything?
Or John. I don't know what his name is.
This movie stinks.
This movie's great. Speaking of a movie that does stink, Freddie Prinze Jr. is in a movie. It's on Netflix. I'm not even sure what it's called, honestly.
It's called A Freddie Prinze Christmas.
I watched it. I feel bad for Freddie Prinze's face because it does not look good.
You know, how old do you think he is at this point? He's got
to
be
close
what?
To 50, right?
He's got to be 15 years old.
Let's say mid-40s.
Let's say 48.
Okay.
48's my guess. What's your guess?
So either way, I don't give a shit. He is a music teacher, and he pairs up with a pop star to write a Christmas song. And I guess they end up doing it, but he misses, or she misses.
Does he sing in this movie?
He doesn't. Yeah, he sings a little bit. She misses his daughter's quinceañera, and then they get upset because she wants to go on SNL or something. Yep. But they end up together. Happy ending.
You know, it was a decent show. My Super Sweet 16. That was a decent show. I didn't mind that show. There were some quinceañeras on that show.
This movie was terrible, though. So let's move on. Max, Spirited.
Sounds better than the low end.
Oh, my God. You take that back. This podcast is fundamentally our stable. Our floor right now is the Lindsay Lohan movie.
I would rather watch Freddie Prinze sing Christmas carols than Lindsay Lohan date Tad Hamilton.
The song that is written in the Freddie Prinze Jr. movie is maybe the worst song ever written.
I'm not saying you're wrong. My point still stands.
Home is where the heart is. Where did you think of those lyrics?
Goo, I watched three times different segments of the movie Spirited. Spirited is on fucking bullshit Apple TV.
I have stared at the thumbnail of Spirited every time and said, this is too long. I'm not going to watch this.
I think I'm up to about an hour in, so I got like an hour and change left. The premise, if you're not aware.
Scrooge.
Will Ferrell, no.
What?
No. Will Ferrell, I mean, there's some Scrooge elements. Will Ferrell plays the ghost of Christmas Past, and there's like a whole ghost agency that has to haunt people and change them for the better. So Scrooge-like
But let
elements.
Me just say, you said it's not Scrooge, and then you start out with, he plays the ghost of Christmas Past.
No, because there's a whole thing that I don't want to ruin.
They take 20 minutes to explain, this isn't Scrooge.
Ryan Reynolds is the bad guy that they're trying to turn good, but there's this whole relationship and whole dynamic between Reynolds and Ferrell that Reynolds also changes Ferrell, and that's where I'm at this point. They're starting to get into some Ferrell stuff, and there's a little wrinkle in this story, Goo, that you're like, ah, okay, got it. Kind of saw that, but it's already too long. I'm like already an hour in and they haven't really moved to the next part of the story, and so I would like that to happen. There's already been like 4 song and dances.
How are they?
They're okay
because you're more of a great song and dance man than me.
They're okay, but there's no, because Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds aren't good singers, obviously. They're okay.
Will Ferrell's an okay singer.
He's okay. He's okay. That everything's just okay. A couple of extravagant dance numbers. It's just this. That's what this whole thing is. It's all just like okay. It's. I've fallen asleep 3 times, so I can't pretend that it's any good. I honestly don't know if I'll ever finish it. But if you're into Christmas musicals starring Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, this is right up your alley.
Boats and Hoes. Mac, finally, Christmas Story 2 is available on HBO Max, and I'll let the people know right now, I am never going to watch this.
Yeah, so Ralphie is all grown up, but he still looks the same. It's fucking jarring.
His dad is dead. His mom is a new actress.
Yep, because she died in real life. I don't know. Like, A Christmas Story is such a time and place movie. Like, you could never make that movie 10 years later, and it's really not even that good of a movie.
Which, hold up. Okay, so just off A Christmas Story, let's talk about this T-Mobile commercial with Zach Braff. Get out of my face.
Why do you want to talk about that?
He gets his tongue stuck to a pole. It's like, check this out, Donald Faison.
That's all anyone remembers from A Christmas Story is the tongue to the pole and then the leg lamp. Those are the two.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. And then the kick down the slide.
I could not hate a popular movie more than A Christmas Story.
No, Hocus Pocus.
I like Hocus Pocus better than A Christmas Story.
No, A Christmas Story greater than Hocus Pocus.
Is that our March Madness?
I can tolerate A Christmas Story. Hocus Pocus makes me want to punch my
Mac
TV.
Sits there for all 24 hours on Christmas Eve on TBS and says, more. Manja, manja.
It's very... You speak about this all the time, like with some 80s stuff, but it happens in the 70s too, like with A Christmas Story. The lens through which it's viewed is dirty.
It's just a gross dirty movie. Yeah.
I don't care for the first one, honestly. Apparently, I don't know why you would make a sequel, but if you want a sequel to A Christmas Story, it is apparently...
Fun fact, hey, Mac, they've actually made a sequel to the movie. This is another sequel.
That's true. You're right about that. HBO Max, you said? That's where this is?
So if you like the movie, you can shove it up your butt.
Let's get into Max.
And Max, that could be anything. It could be a boat. And Mac, we are in that time of the season where everyone is sharing their top 5 musics or podcasts or whatever from
Spotify. Rap, baby.
I don't have Spotify.
That's maybe the worst thing about you is you don't have Spotify.
You know how I watch my music or how I listen to my music? I put it on
YouTube.
Whatever
you say don't matter to me.
I put it on YouTube.
That's just, I don't know, like Spotify. And listen, I was a big holdout on Spotify. I've only had Spotify for like 2 years, 2.5 years.
I thought he said that you're a big Hole fan. The Courtney Love.
Spotify, top three app.
Yeah.
Top three app.
What's your top one app?
Yeah, I didn't want you to ask me that question. That's why I said top three. I wasn't sure what number one might be.
Hinge?
Spotify's got to be in the running, though.
Is it Threender?
I don't know what Threender is.
Wasn't that the threesome app?
Oh, it's like Tinder, but a threesome.
I think so.
I might have to check that out, then.
Yeah, no one's going to want you.
Who am I kidding? Threesome's too much pressure.
Matt can barely handle one lady.
Spotify Wrapped is out. All the top listings is out. Like, my list is exactly what I thought it would be. I listened to, like, the same 20 artists
Hole,
year-round.
It was Life is a Highway.
Life is a highway. It's all just songs that were featured in The Office.
So I don't have it. And by the way, thank you to everybody who has tweeted out that we are in their top five podcasts. That's very, very cool. That's very, very nice of you.
Well, that's one of the things too, is I don't really listen to too many podcasts, and especially not on Spotify. But my, if you are intrigued by my top five artists, it was Chris Stapleton, The Beatles, Dua Lipa, Foo Fighters, of course, once Taylor Hawkins died, that's all I listened to for like 2 months, and Harry Styles.
I was actually going to ask you why the Foo Fighters, because, you know, eh.
I love the Foo Fighters, but they made the top five this year because after Hawkins died, I probably listened to the Foo Fighters for a month straight. So
because I do not have Spotify, I did want to share, maybe I'm trying to guess roundabout of my top five listen to podcasts on the year, and it could really be in any order because of the length of these shows. Hashtag dork. Ever hear of them?
Yeah, they're all right. They're decent guys.
This is important. This is the Workaholics podcast.
Yeah.
Have you listened to it?
No.
Okay. In the most recent episode, Durs says something that might have given me the biggest laugh maybe in the year.
I'll tell you what. I am the king of giving people recommendations and then not listening or watching recommendations I get back.
The Weekly Planet. I've been listening to them for a couple of years now. They're Australian. They talk about pop culture stuff.
Now, do you listen only on commutes or when you're doing stuff like
Gym.
During the day? Too?
And when I'm doing the Stairmaster.
Gotcha.
Pod Meets World. That is the Boy Meets World podcast. I'm a little more choosy now because the episodes are so long and they're kind of whiny.
Yeah. And now that they're like trying to make it canon, that's the side yard. I'm out on that podcast. Fuck
and then
them.
Finally, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I don't necessarily listen to it a ton on my podcast app, but I watch every clip on YouTube. So
yeah, that's more, I end up getting down YouTube rabbit holes with clips from podcasts because I enjoy much more seeing the people's reactions and whatnot. And as we've seen here, you know, as now that we've started recording, you know, on the internet for the last 2 years or whatever, a lot of it is visual and a lot of the reactions. And I just prefer that. So that's a big reason why I don't listen on the apps.
All right, Mac, where can the people find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast on every other platform. We are Mac ampersand Goo. That includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, Castbox, Spreaker, Google Play,
iHeartRadio.
We are on Spotify. Might be in some of your Wrapped. More importantly, we are on Apple Podcasts. Rate us, review us, 5 stars. If you do that, we'll get you a free t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Montgomery Street, which I now know is next to some sushi place that Goo likes. Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
TeePublic.com, merch. We have a new design up there. The bones are their money. Also, it is Crashmore season, so go and buy that Crashmore merch.
Mm-hmm,
don't bitch. Forget this Wednesday, December 7th, we'll be at Idle Hands Craft Ales for Nicolas Cage movie trivia. Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Now it's time for girls jumping on trampolines.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.